Well, I'm really going to read it for us tonight.
This is something that's been on my heart for a while now. And I feel like it's very important for all of us. And I pray that the Lord would bless it, help me to get it across in a way that ministers to all of us. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, reading verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, when Jesus came into his ministry, I just picture John the Baptist saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And he's drawing everybody to Jesus. And he's saying, "This is the one. He's the one you're waiting for. He's the one that's going to bring about what you've all been desiring." And so Jesus begins his ministry, and the multitudes followed him because they needed something. I don't know that they all knew exactly what they needed. They knew that they had sickness among them, or they knew they had diseases among them, or possibly afflictions and things of that nature. And obviously they all sought after him for those things. And I mean, you could read in the scriptures where it says that Jesus had compassion on the multitudes and he healed all their sick and all their diseases. And so Jesus was meeting their needs, but I can't help but to think about this mass of people, and it probably could have been way more than it was, but yet he had a mass of people that were following him. And the picture that he gives of them is they were fainted. They were scattered about. They didn't really have a direction, if you will, in life, or they didn't really have a purpose, if you will. They were just kind of scattered about without a leader or without one to guide them and direct them in a way that they should go. And they're at a loss, in a sense, for what to do. And Jesus was like a ray of hope for them. And they followed him about, hoping to receive from him something that would guide them in their lives or that would help them in their spiritual needs. And like I said, I don't even know if they realized all of the needs that they had. And sometimes I think about Jesus' compassion on the people and the way that he looked upon them. And, you know, I think of the Pharisees that they were saying, that, "Man, if he was a prophet, surely he would know who this lady is or who this man is and what kind of person they are. And he would not be one that would sit with them." And I wonder about looking at this multitude of people and how many of them were just like that? How many of them were sick and disgusting in their spirits? But yet Jesus' focus and his vision of them was one of compassion and care. He wanted their souls to be delivered. I was one of those people that was I would say that you could look at and say it was disgusting. But yet God had compassion on me and he desired my soul and he gave me an opportunity at salvation and deliverance because he had compassion on me. And that is the example that Jesus sets, and that his eyes of compassion are on all. You know, I know that sometimes we can think of it in a regard of ourselves, and he loved me so much and he blessed me so much. And it is very personal because Jesus loves you, yes, and he would have done it for just you. It is that personal. But the reality of it is that it's also general, and he loves everybody else too. And he has compassion on them too. And I think that sometimes it's a struggle for us to really realize that, how much he loves us and how much he loves all of us. You know, we can look at ourselves and think that maybe we're not worthy of that love. Maybe we're not worthy of that sacrifice, or maybe we don't deserve it. Maybe we've messed up too many times, and I wouldn't forgive myself if somebody had messed up that many times on me. I don't think I could have forgiven him. You know, we can look at things in that terms or those terms, but God is not that way. His compassion extends beyond all of that, and that is the example that he sets for us. You know, I imagine these people that they were longing for something and didn't exactly know what that something was. But yet they sought after Jesus, and he could be met of them. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 4. So Jesus essentially gives a little bit of a synopsis of what his purpose is in this life, or why he's here. In Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14, he says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee." So this is after his temptation in the wilderness. The devil had tempted him for 40 days, and while he fasted, and he comes out victorious, and he comes out in the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit, into Galilee. "And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." So this is the same place where he could not do many miracles because they knew him. So isn't this the carpenter's son? You know, where does he have all these teachings or whatever, right? And so here he is in Nazareth, in the synagogue where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So this was his mission. And he goes on to say in verse 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Praise God! Right? I mean, he's saying, this is fulfilled. This is what you've been waiting for. It's here. And it was not received that way. Unfortunately, when he said that, they were grumbling among themselves and wondering, who's this guy think he is? Why would he say such a thing of himself? And where is he coming from? But this was his mission: to meet the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. That was why it says that when he had compassion on them, that's why he had compassion on them. That's what he was here to do. To bring about deliverance, the recovering of the blind. And that's not just those that are blind physically, but those that are blind spiritually. They can't see the truth. They don't really know what's available to them. And he came to open the blind eyes. And I thank God for that. He is our example. You know, I was thinking about Brother Michael's messages this afternoon. You know, Jesus was on a mission. He had a purpose. He had a reason for doing what he was doing. He declared his reason or his purpose in life. This was what he was meant to do. And I say that he's setting an example to us. It's not just his job. I'm going to say it again. He's setting an example to us to have that compassion, to have that vision, to have that care, to extend it that far. You know, I was thinking of Brother Michael's message about the mission of the family. What is our family mission? What are we purposing within our family? Within our children? What purpose and direction am I giving my children? In the spirit. You know, not like, oh, setting them up so that they can run a business when they get older and they'll have something set aside that they can operate from and make them successful temporally. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But if we do that and we miss the mission, we miss the purpose, then what's the point in having a whole bunch of children if we're not going to give them the purpose that God has for them? And so we got to give them that direction. We've got to have a family mission. And it's not so much to say that our family's a missionary family, like the brother said this afternoon, you know. He said we consider ourselves a missionary family, but we never really went on missionary trips, although they did some. But I get the vision. I understand what he's saying. And instilling that in our children. It's really that instilling this compassion, this care, this drive for the kingdom of God, for the Spirit of God, for what God wants to do in the lives of people. And it begins with me, right? I've got to get to know the Lord. I've got to find the salvation that He freely offers. I've got to receive that and allow it to work in my life and to create newness of life in me. But it can't just be all internal. I can't just sit in my house and be all internal all the time and constantly focus only on me. Yeah, I need to make it. But I think part of me being able to make it is going to be me having a vision for what's out there too. You know, I think about when I first got saved. And this is just my experience. I mean, it's not me trying to talk about myself. But when I got saved, I was very thankful. I was very just overjoyed at the opportunity of newness of life. But you know, I really believe that what really helped my success was that I bought into the purpose. I bought into the vision. I plugged into God's purpose and His vision and His plan for society or for us as a whole. And I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God. And I wanted God to use me as a vessel in His kingdom. And it didn't really matter about what it was that He used me to do, only that I knew that He was using me. And that it mattered, that my life mattered, that it had significance. And I really believe that that is important. Back to our family. It's important that I instill that in my children. And pray for me. I really want to do that. I want to bring about some sort of avenue for our family that our children can participate in building the kingdom of God. Even if it be just a small portion of that kingdom. Even if it just be a brick here or a brick there or whatever it might be. But that they can be actively involved and know that they're about their Father's business. I want to be about my Father's business in my life. And that's not me trying to say that everybody ought to just, you know, throw everything else aside and walk in faith and only serve God in the ministry or missionary or whatever. You can live your life and still have a purpose of serving God in your life as the forefront of your life. When you go about in your daily tasks, that yes, there is this element of I'm providing for my home, I'm providing for my children, I'm providing for my family. There is that element, and obviously we need to produce that. We need to be involved in that. But there ought to be another element there that's on the forefront of our vision and how we're operating and functioning in the body of Christ. for the fulfillment or for the edifying of His kingdom and His body. I think of the scripture where Jesus said something to the effect of, He had His fold, but it wasn't His only fold, right? He said another fold I have, or something to that effect, right? Yeah, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. I really believe that is a reality today, folks. There's other sheep that He has that are not necessarily of this fold. And I would like for the Lord to help us to know how to reach them, to know how to seek them out, to know how to encourage them in what maybe they don't know they need. Maybe they don't realize what they're missing. Maybe they don't even know that this is a reality or a possibility. But how will they know unless somebody tell them? Right? They walk in what they know. And I believe the Lord has mercy, but there's so much more to know. There's so much more victory to have. And I pray that the Lord would help us to have a purpose in our vision. So here in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 11. Again, a scripture where Jesus is essentially declaring what His mission is. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto Me. So here we were talking about the people that were faint. They were scattered. They were wandering about and seeking after direction in their lives. And they didn't really know what to do. They didn't really know how to proceed. But all they knew is they had needs. And Jesus is here saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's an answer to their needs, right? Come unto Me. You know that we can tell people that? Your burden in your life, your burden in your soul, you don't really know where you're going in your life. And I talked to a couple young men recently, and they didn't really know what was going on in their lives. One of them, he said, well, I don't know. I don't really think that God is calling me. And I said, oh no, bud, no. He's absolutely calling me. And I tell you, his eyes was like, what? I'm serious. It baffled me that he didn't know that. Jesus wants you, bud. He's calling you. He has something for you. He says, come unto Me. He wants your heart. And I really think that it was a relief to him, even though it was somewhat of a fearful thing for him as well, you know. But we have that to offer, folks. We have that to give unto them. And they may not know they need it. We could tell him, come unto Jesus. Cast your burdens upon Him. You're laboring and you're struggling and you're not feeling like you're getting the victory that you need, or maybe you just threw your hands up and believed that there was no victory to be had. But we could tell them different. We could tell them through the scripture that that's not true. That Jesus wants to deliver them from all of those things. He wants to heal all their diseases. And that's good news. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. This is the mission that Jesus had, and this was the example that He set. The compassion that He set forth, the offering of deliverance that He gave to the masses, and what we can give to them too. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This is a similar scripture to the first one we read. 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, I said that I've been thinking about this for a long time. And what I mean by that is I believe the Lord has been teaching me this. He's telling me this. Okay, I hope it helps you all. And, you know, maybe he's telling you too. I believe that he is. But I'll say it, that he's telling me first. He says, they were sheep as having no shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Lord, help me to know when there's opportunities where I could teach people some many things. Things that maybe they aren't aware of. Things that maybe they don't know. Things that maybe will challenge their beliefs or their structure and what they've always thought. And that can help them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. It's not a desire to crush them or to cut them down or to show them how wrong they are or anything like that. It's not that. But it's like I said, Jesus does want you, bro. He wants you to come into Him. He wants you to draw near to Him so that He can save your soul. That's teaching Him something that He didn't know, that He was not quite aware of. Being able to tell them, no, you don't have to struggle with this thing over and over and over again. You don't have to put up with sin in your life. You don't have to live that way. I know everybody tells you that you can't get rid of it, but that's not true. Jesus came to set the captives free. And that means you. And that means the sin that has you held captive. That's good news. Right? And maybe not everybody's going to see that as good news. Maybe not everybody's going to receive that from us. But I don't know that God is really requiring of that of us. He wants us to tell them. He wants us to show them. He wants us to teach them the things that they don't know. And that is victory. That is a purpose. That is something that you can rejoice in. That you're about the mission. You're doing what God has given you to do. You gave that little bit of information. You gave it in compassion and love and a concern for their souls. And you left it for them. And you pray for them. You pray that they get it and they receive it and they run with it. And you're willing to be there for them when they need some more or they need a little bit extra or you invite them to come. We can invite people to come. Because we have things that they may need to know. You know, I was thinking of all the people that when they came across Jesus, you know, I was thinking of Andrew when John told him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew ran off and got Peter, right? And I think of the woman at the well. Come see a man that told me everything, you know. She went off to get that information to other people. You gotta come. You gotta get a hold of this. We have something very precious, and I pray that the Lord would help us to know that it's something that other people need. Valuable. I think of the leper, not the leper, the lunatic man that Jesus healed, and he was clothed and in his right mind, and he said, "Lord, let me come with you." And Jesus said, "No, sir. But I want you to go and tell them what great things God has done for you." The Lord wants us to tell them. He wants us to seek Him out. You know, I think of Jesus, His mission, it wasn't just hold up in Nazareth. But He went about seeking and conducting His ministry. He sent His disciples out two by two. And it was like 70 of them that went out. And when they came back, what were they doing? They were rejoicing and praising God. Why? Because they were a part of the mission. They were part of the plan. They were part of what God was doing. And they were seeing the hand of God at work in their lives. That produces something. I really believe that if we want our young people who are endeavoring to serve the Lord, who are having a desire to serve God, they need a purpose. They need to get plugged into something where they see that God is at work in their life, that they're a part of something bigger. I'm depending on you young people. Hello. Really? Your vitality, your vision, your desire to have zeal for God. If it's focused on the things of God, the Lord can use you. He can use you to do things that I can't do. And it will help you in your spiritual strength and in your ability to have victory in your life in service to the Lord. We've got to have purpose in what we're doing. We've got to do it on purpose, and we've got to have a vision of purpose. I really love the message this afternoon, and just that focusing point of giving our families purpose. But you know, this is the body of Christ, and it needs purpose. It needs vision. It needs compassion and desire for those things that are without. My family, we can't just be huddled up and worried just about ourselves. As much as we might want to. As much as we might feel like we have to. You know, there's no shortage of needs, right, in our families. It's one burning bridge after another, it seems like, right, that we're trying to deal with. But may the Lord help us not to lose our vision and our focus on what the Lord wants to do in our lives, because that is what's purposeful in us. That is essentially what's going to sustain us when we go through those troublous times. When we know that the hand of God is involved in our lives and He's working through us and in us. I'd like to turn to Ezekiel. And this is a scripture that every time I read it, I do an inward examination. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be in your will. And I guess I'm gonna say this. When I read things like this, I get challenged by it. But they don't destroy me. Some people it may hurt them or cause them to be overly critical of themselves or make them feel like that they're nothing or whatever, you know. But I don't believe that. I believe this is a challenge for us and for me. Ezekiel 34:1-6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now I understand that the shepherds of Israel was considered to be the leadership or the elders or you know, it could even have been the priests or the kings or whatever, but the leaders, right? The ones that are leading the people. And he says to prophesy against them. And I want to say, I don't believe that the way I'm bringing this out today, I don't want it to be just them, okay? I'm not talking just the leaders in a sense, but may the Lord help us to all be able to apply this to our hearts. Okay, he says, prophesy to the shepherds, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. So woe be unto those who only are worried about themselves, that are internal, that are basically just central focused, and they're not being able to focus without themselves. That's kind of what I was talking about within our families. If our families even are just all right here, then that's stunning our growth, and that's stunning our ability to exercise in the kingdom of God. I do believe that it has to start with me, and I do believe that it has to go to our families. I do believe that. I do believe that God has given me children and it's my responsibility to raise them and teach them in this way. I mean, I don't know how I can expect to have success with other people's children or other people's families when I disregard my own. I really have to take advantage of that. The Lord has given me clean slates, if you will. I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity to be able to raise them in the things of God and in the truth. And may the Lord help us not to forsake that, but to nurture that, but to also go beyond that and not just stay focused on me. I don't want to just be in a cocoon, me and myself, and I don't want that cocoon to be just me and my family. But I want to exercise beyond that and be a part of the church as well, right? And make this a part of that mission or make this a part of that vision. But then I also want to extend that further even into the wandering world around us. The people that have no shepherd and no idea what they really need in their hearts and in their lives. They don't even know the truth at all. It even goes beyond it to them as well. He says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened." You know, we talked about Jesus and his mission, and that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind. And, you know, his mission was when he had compassion on the multitudes and he healed their sick and their disease, he cared about them. He touched the leper. He touched the leper. He could have spoke to the leper. He could have, you know, cleansed him with his word. I mean, he healed a person from miles away with his word. But he had compassion enough to have a unique experience with that leper who knew that he should not be touched, who knew that he was a disease that was contaminate others, contagious. And yet Jesus touched him, an intimate act that he gave it to that man. That is what Jesus was about. But yet he says, "The disease have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." Lord, help me to seek after those who are lost. To seek after those who have gone away. To seek them out. To have compassion on them. To want them to come back. I mean, we have a unique relationship with the Lord. We have the power of God through His Spirit walking in and through us. Surely we want them to have that too. And so He warns them, "You're not doing that. You're not seeking them out. You're not going after them. You're centralized. You're too self-centered. You're too self-focused." And I say, "Lord, help me not to be that. Help me to want to draw out. Well, help me to want to seek out. Help me to want to take a little effort and time to reach those who have gone away. To seek after them to come back." And it's not so much that God is holding me responsible that if they don't come back, that's on me. But I think it's more so a problem that if I don't ever draw or ask them to come back, then yeah, you could maybe hold me responsible for that. But if I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do and they don't receive it, then that's on them, right? But may the Lord help me to do that. I have a desire for that. I have a desire to do that. And I don't think that that is I don't believe that it's a unique desire for one. where we could just say, well, you know, that's not me. I'm not that one. But I feel like the Lord is wanting us all to be a part of this, to seek after those who are away or wandered off, that need a shepherd, or need direction, need purpose, need the truth, that need to be able to sit down and teach them many things about the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. My sheep wander through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. That's a sad thing. But this is his response. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. You know, the Lord did that when Jesus came. He both sought his sheep. He searched them out. He went about and he went into all the highways and hedges, if you will, and sought those who needed him. And they gathered around him and wandered about with him and sought his teaching. I think they sat and they listened to him on the Mount of Olives as he taught them the word of God and truth. And verse 15 says, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. He says, I'm going to do it. And he fulfilled that, I believe, in the New Testament, where we see Jesus. He comes in and he does just that. He's a shepherd to the sheep. They're without a shepherd. They're without a leader. They're without a purpose in life, if you will. And he provided all that for them. But now he's given us that mission. He's given us that ministry to draw all men into him. He wants us to draw people to him. You know, I think of the scriptures where Jesus said that, let's read it. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, starting at verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the high mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The Lord wants us to seek after the one. He wants us to go out and search him out. I know that we all know different ones that have maybe gone away. People that you might be connected to somehow. People that you're aware of. You know, not just random strangers, but people that we know. And I'm guilty that I have not invited them back. Said, hey, why don't you come back? We love you. We want to serve God with you. I do think that it could start there. But obviously we don't want it to end there. I want us to feel like we can invite anybody. And I'll raise my hand again and say, Lord, help me to do better. Help me to do better. Help me to invest my time in the lives of lost people who needs your salvation, who needs your deliverance, who needs the truth. And it doesn't have to be a title. It doesn't have to be a ministry in and of itself. But it's just trying to be about God's business, to build the kingdom of God.
You know, I was talking about the 70 that Jesus went out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. He sent the 70 out. And this was one of the commands that he had given to them. Starting in verse 5. Matthew 10 and 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven, it is at hand. Right? So that was their message. That was the message that Jesus had given. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand. That was a declaration that it's time, right? And then he tells them, heal the sick. Be mindful of the sick. Be mindful of the disease. Be mindful of those that have needs. I don't think it necessarily has to be all just the physical aspects of this, where he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And I really believe that is what God wants us to do. We've received a wonderful gift of salvation. We received something that is beyond comprehension, really, in what God has really done in our lives and how He's changed our lives and how He's given us new purpose and new hope. And it's a wonderful gift that He's given it to us. And it would be a shame for us to just hold it to ourselves. Freely you have received. May we freely give what God has given it to us. He's offered it to them. I mean, He's given us a license to say, come unto me, He told them. And the word of God, come unto me. And we can give them that assurance or that declaration that He's calling you and He's saying, come unto me. And you can come. And you can come just the way you are. But I'll have you know, you won't leave the same way that you came. You can come exactly as you are, and Jesus receives you just as you are. But be aware that you will not leave the same way as you came. Thank the Lord. Because how is that good news if I tell you to come on over to Jesus and He's going to save you, He's going to change, He's going to give you new life, but then you walk away the same way you came in? That's not good news, and that's not really the truth. The Lord wants to do much more for you in your life. And He's saying, come unto me. And so if you feel like maybe you're one of those sheep out there wandering about, I want you to know that we love you. We care about you. And Jesus is calling and saying, come unto me. And you can receive all that He has for you right now. And we want to take you in, and we want to teach you and instruct you in the ways of the Word of God, of truth. The Spirit of God wants to teach you also and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever He has taught you. But that is, to me, what the Lord wants to do. May the Lord help us to have a personal vision, purpose, personal purpose. I want to be saved. I want to make sure that I'm walking in the path that God would have me to walk in. That is my first responsibility. My children and my family are my second responsibility in that. And that I make sure that they too are walking in the path, or that I'm at least giving them the path, instructing them in the way, giving them a purpose, giving them the mission of the kingdom of God, providing that unto them and instructing them in that way. And then it goes even beyond that into our body. We edify one another. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We lift up one another. We support each other as this body. And then we also have a collective mission, one with another, to reach those who are lost. May the Lord help us to have purpose in all these areas in our lives, in the walk in this path that He has set before us. He has set the example. He has showed the compassion. He has showed the work. He has done the work before us, and He's given it to us to do. And I pray the Lord would help me to do that. Pray for me.